Hello and welcome to another Discourse About Discourse EduCast. Today is Tuesday, May the 1st, and today is the day that we find out about a grant that we had written a couple months ago, and it really got us started on the whole path to the Academy of Discovery. It was sort of the initial step in figuring out what curriculum would look like, so we're very excited about that. And when I say we, I mean the Discovery team at Crest Hill Middle School. But I'm trying to put that out of my mind. I'm trying to, because I'm not sure when it's going to come in, and I really would like to actually get on with the business of the day. And in doing that, I've been thinking a lot recently about really how the Academy of Discovery and how School 2.0 needs to be framed, and that's been a really big theme for me this year. But over the last couple of days, I've been convinced that most people in education do not need to hear about School 2.0 from someone that looks like me. And they need to hear about School 2.0 from someone that looks like themselves, that has been in education for 20 or so years, that started in the classroom when there were no computers in the classroom, and has worked themselves up into a convert, and is now completely engaged in trying to make School 2.0 happen. They need to hear from someone like that. And I don't know that there are a whole lot of speakers out there. This idea came from, at least most solidly, from a West Wing episode in, I believe it was the 6th season, when Matthew Santos, who is the new Democratic candidate for president, he's a Hispanic candidate that is trying to go out to California and talk about an ID bill for illegal immigrants. And he thinks that this bill where all illegal immigrants can't get driver's licenses, he thinks that it's a terrible bill, but he doesn't want to speak out against it because, you know, he wants all the votes and things like that. And his sort of reasoning is, when he goes to the governor to say, you need to speak out against this bill and I will stand behind you, but I can't say these words because they don't need to be heard from someone that looks like me, someone that's Hispanic, but someone that looks like you, this rather clean-cut, white governor of California. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. Because as I am talking into this iPod on my way to work, I am 24 years old. I've been teaching for 3 years, and I've been blogging for each one of those 3 years. I was a sort of indoctrinated with technology when I was younger. I've had a computer in my home since I was probably about 4 or 5, maybe even before that, because my father was into technology and, you know, programmed on punch cards when he was in college and things like this. So I'm not really sure that my words are going to come across as strongly as some other teachers out there that have been working at trying to create change in education for a long time, but they did not find something that was really going to create the most change until they hit upon Web 2.0 technologies and sort of collaborative technologies. And now that they have, they're amazed by it and they want to convert as many people as possible. And if this happens, that there are a lot of new converts that become the advocates, I'm kind of convinced that that is the demographic that we need to be going after right now, is basically the people who would do it if they only knew how. And I think that that's one of the big things that Steve Harganon is trying to go for on his Classroom 2.0 wiki. And I was checking out some of the discussion. I thought it was really interesting. Some people are saying, oh, this is a repetition of the School 2.0 wiki. It's a repetition of some of the other things that other people have done. And Steve's response was, yeah, but those things haven't caught on. We need to try something new. In fact, we need to continue to try things that are new in order to get this demographic of people that would be advocates. Maybe we should just call them that, the would-be advocates, if they only knew how. And I think that I have turned on my administration to this idea. They don't get it fully. You know, sort of the vision and the why of it, all of the pieces of the Academy of Discovery, but they understand, they get its value. They see that, okay, you're doing something that's important, we want to support you in that, and that makes a lot of sense to them. So they are advocates now for this new vision, this School 2.0 within a school, and we need more people that will get behind sort of the original creators of the movement, which I see, you know, various people who are working in different sectors trying to make that happen. But we need the people who are very, very much struggling with technology and struggling to see the value in it, and for them to be brought over. I feel like there are people that are just so afraid. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday from, it was on Wesley Fryers, and it was Kevin Honeycutt, who did a presentation, which I had never heard him before, but he is a fantastic presenter, and he talks about how he really had to play catch-up after his kids got into sort of social networking and things like this, and he was like, okay, now you have to teach me. And he's become an expert and a guy who's out on the forefront of safety, online safety and things like this. And he is almost what I think we're looking for. But we need the person who really is sort of desperately afraid of using technology in the classroom in any kind of systematic way. We need to find the people that are just don't even want to listen to what we're saying. We need to get some of those people over to our side, if you will. I think once we have a few of those would-be advocates who are able to talk intelligently about these technologies and see the value in them, then it becomes like a matter of, well, if this other traditional experienced teacher is doing this, well, why can't I? Because I see right now that although I feel like I'm still sort of a younger crop of School 2.0 educators, I feel like many of the others have been doing computing in their classrooms for years. David Warlick has so many great stories about the first times that he sort of programmed things, stock market game, I think he started with, things like this. Stephen Downes has been doing this forever, even though, you know, obviously not with Web 2.0 technologies. We need the people who have not been doing this forever. The people that are new to become the advocates, not the people that are just listening to the podcast and maybe writing an occasional blog entry. They need to be the people presenting. They need to be the ones out in the forefront. And I think if we can kind of shove them toward it and say, okay, learn this because it's awesome and it's going to help you teach better to this new type of student, but then we need you to present it. We need you to be the person who is reaching out to the other teachers who have been doing this for a long, long time, education, who have been doing education for a long, long time, and say, it's not so bad. It really isn't. It's not going to be something that will take over and destroy all of the work that you've done for the past 20 years. It is something that will enhance it and make it even better. And so once we have them pushed out into the forefront, then the movement will become alive and it will become rich, and it won't just be a young man's game or a computer nerd's game or something like that, where it's something that everybody is doing. It's systematic. It works. The question becomes, though, when do we have the time to teach these teachers? And when do they have the time to learn? Because I think that one of the biggest problems in professional development is time. And I've talked earlier about starter packs of RSS feeds, you know, an OPML file or something like that, that would, you know, be the first step. But the problem is, when you're trying to get teachers that have no conception of a blog or an RSS feed, there are probably about 10 different baby steps that have to be taken before you can get them to that point. And so where is the time? I think one, you know, there needs to be a systematic making of time where the teachers who are sort of the early adopters, the originators of the School 2.0 movement, they need to make time for people and meet them where they're at. If that means a personal one-on-one meeting, I think that the dividends will still be large enough to sort of outweigh the time that you would be giving. If we can push towards something and take those baby steps, my favorite example of this type of teacher is a teacher on my team, Randy Lornell. She's the math teacher, and she is amazing at trying new things and trying to keep on learning, but she knows how much is too much information for her at any given time. So she just got a smart board, and we're trying to teach her how to use that a little bit, and she's just doing amazing things even now with it. But the idea is, we show her a few keyboard shortcuts or something like that, and she's like, okay, I can handle those. I'm done for right now. And I feel like it's almost the same way that our kids are graze on information. I think that if these kinds of teachers would be able to graze on School 2.0 successes and the School 2.0 message enough times that it becomes, oh, this doesn't taste too bad. This is pretty good, actually. I can make this work in my classroom. It's not something extra. It'll take things off my plate. It will reach more kids. Once they've had enough experiences with that, I think that there's a tipping point where they would never want to go back to the way that they were. And then there's another tipping point, though, further on down the road, where they would be willing to provide this information for others. And, I mean, there's only so much that we can kind of prop that up and say, hey, I'll do your presentation for you. You just have to talk about it, because they need to hear from someone like you, not someone like me. I think that they have to own that, because obviously, you know, School 2.0 is all about ownership of learning. But I think that grazing model, where it's just enough contact with it, show many, many times over the course of probably a year or even 2 years that this is something worthwhile, and then they can become advocates for it and say, oh, they're not saying, look at what my teammate is doing. They're saying, look at what I'm doing. Look at what I am capable of, or look at what my kids are capable of, because I am using these technologies, because I am realizing just how powerful they can be. And so when we have those kinds of advocates, within the School 2.0 movement, that it will actually move forward and out of the community of edubloggers. It will move out into the community of real life, of the discourse. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has decided that education should become a big plank in every platform for re-election or for election in 2008, especially the presidential platform. And they have just said, I don't care if it's education in terms of drastic reform. I don't care if it is education in terms of standards-based work and more testing and things like this. They are saying, we want education to be in the national discourse. We want the presidential candidates to have fully fleshed out education plans, and we want them to be talking about it nonstop because people care about it. And not only do people care about it, it is vital to our country's well-being, to the United States' well-being. And when that becomes a part of the discourse, these things are naturally going to come up. But they'll come up in such small circles that it's not going to make a huge impact. What we need to have is School 2.0 to become a part of the presidential platform. Maybe that's too big of a goal, but maybe not. If Barack Obama, John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, John McCain, Mitt Romney, if they all had these ideas, if some 50-year-old teacher came to them, or a group of 50-year-old teachers came to them and said, we want funding for this now. We don't want to wait until the new crop of teachers coming up is in the majority. We want to do this in our classrooms. If they went to those people and got a hold of someone that was of value in their campaigns, I think the discourse would change drastically. And maybe that's the challenge of the next couple of years. It's not just to think about, well, how are we going to create change in that very small way, but looking so far ahead that it becomes a part of the national discourse. School 2.0 as a movement, that it really becomes one that everyone can latch on to. And I think one of the ways that that starts, as I've said many times just in this podcast, is by getting the people who wouldn't normally support something like this to support it and to grab a hold of it and run with it. So if you have any ideas about how to make School 2.0 a part of the 2008 presidential campaign, please let me know. But I think if we make a concerted effort to do it, I think it's possible. So comment on the podcast at bhwilkoff, that's W-I-L-K-O-F-F, .podomatic.com. Check out my blog at youngsonne, Y-O-N-G-E-S-O-N-N-E, .edublogs.org. You can email me from there. I would love it also if you would check out some of the wiki projects that my students are working on. DiscoveryUtopias.wikispaces.com, DiscoveryIsms.wikispaces.com, and MyMeaning.wikispaces.com. They would love it. We've got a cluster map on there that shows where you're hitting on them from, and that didn't sound right. Where you are hitting the site from, and I think that they would really enjoy it. Also, you can dig my podcast over at Dig. It's called Discourse About Discourse. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to hear from you soon.